I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
To the economy. Diversify your hard-earned savings today by calling Birch Gold Group at 800-899-4635 and get their free information kit to teach you how precious metals can protect your family's financial future. Birch Gold is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau and has thousands of satisfied customers. Call them 800-899-4635. That's 800-899-4635.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table. Term. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody's having a safe, good Monday so far. Looks like the rain's coming in. Might be some people mad, too, man. I saw over at some apartments in Cordova, dude, it run all into the gate, man. Cops everywhere. I don't know if he was mad based on what we saw Sunday or not. But I tell you what, and it pains me to say it, we probably should have listened to John on Friday. John said they would lose. John went out on a limb.
Don't do this.
On Friday. And he said the Grizzlies would probably lose to the Golden State Warriors on Sunday. I'll be danged. Despite Dylan Brooks basically throwing a finger at John. He tried. He tried in the fourth quarter.
Single-handedly.
Yes. He's what got him back in the game. There was some urgency coming out of Dylan Brooks. Golden State still gets the win. Steph is magnificent.
Amazing.
It's hard to come away with that thing with too many other takes above. My gosh, Steph Curry scored 46
points. I don't
think
there is another take to come out. I mean, we can talk about the Grizzlies.
Takes.
We can talk about the Grizzlies. But in terms of just that
game. It's
got to
be way up there.
Itself, man. I mean, that was.
Nine threes, John.
Occasionally,
nine.
This will happen in the NBA, right? Like a generational player will go off.
Dude's 33. Whew. Out there lighting it up, playing some of the best, arguably the best basketball of his career.
Right.
arguably.
It's different, right?
Like, from a scoring standpoint, it's right up there at the top.
The Warriors used to be, like, at their peak. They're not at their peak right now, as we know. They're the 8 seed.
That's what I was trying to tell you. That ain't the real Warriors. Steph.
I would want it to be the real Warriors after the way they handled the Grizzlies. That would at least make me feel a little better. If you said that was a real Warriors, you guys got, you know, their best effort. But it used to be a deal where when you play them, it always felt inevitable. Like there was going to be a 20-0 run, like the crowd.
Yeah, those were the real Warriors. Yeah, those teams.
So it's different than that. But it's still at some point, like it felt inevitable yesterday that Steph was going to take over. Steph was going to will that team to a win. That's exactly what happened. They don't have anybody else. It's amazing. They have nobody else on that team. And yet he was able to do it yesterday. Against the Grizzlies. They get the win. They're the 8th. The Grizzlies are the 9. That means the Grizzlies host San Antonio Spurs here in Memphis on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We'll
find out about tickets hopefully later on.
Yes.
Today, how many, all that kind of good stuff.
Not a horrible consolation when you're hosting a meaningful postseason game. Would have rather been the 8. But it's not the worst thing in the world. You still have a home game here.
Finish the regular season, 4 games over 500.
Some things that you can build on, you would say. So we'll get into all of that today. We'll sort of let you give Steph his flowers. We'll get into all of that today on the show. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him about the Grizzlies, about Steph Curry, Ja Morant, the NBA, the rest of the playoffs, some NFL.
I wanted to stop him last week when he said Lakers, Golden State, the NBA's going to get what it wants and tell him, well, hold on. But turns out he's right.
Bro, I mean, look, Dylan fouled out on a doo-doo call. I mean, he
said it was a right call, but that, come on, Draymond flopped.
Like, when we did the interview with Jeff on Friday, it's a good question. I don't know. What do you have to lose at that point?
You don't have anything to lose at that point.
Yeah.
And Kerr's still challenging. He's challenging non-fouls on Ja.
And they got it turned around.
I mean, if you're worried about a timeout at that point, Golden State wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I would have contested that one. There's no question.
Nothing to lose.
But that's what we're talking about. Calls like that go against the team that doesn't have Steph Curry.
Yes.
You know? Not that yesterday came down to any kind of officiating or anything.
Right, that was more of a vet move, right? Draymond, having been there before, knows how to get a sucker call than it was the NBA having it in for you. That's what that was. That Steph and Draymond sort of, they played like the old Warriors, John. The ones that had been through the wars, the vets, all that. I suppose you can put Looney in that group if you want to. I just don't. It's Steph and Draymond. And the ability, knowing that I gotta draw this foul, knowing how many Dylan's got, right, that's, they vetted you yesterday.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes.
It was a veteran move.
We'll get into all of that today. Jason Fitz going to join us at 1:20. We've got some respect burgers and a disrespect dog to hand out, and we have just the man.
I already know who you're.
Just the
dog
man
is.
For that. I mean, we're gonna put some horseradish on that thing. We got a big old cup of hot dog water to serve with it.
I know where you're shipping it to and everything. It's going
respect.
You're shipping it international.
That's right, not domestic. This disrespect dog is not domestic.
Mm-hmm.
It is going.
I knew that was coming.
You know, across pond. So we will talk about all of that today here on the show. Looking forward to it. Also, your calls. Grizzlies go on the road and sadly are unable to come out with a victory. 113-101. To me, the first
Give me
half.
Your finest take.
The first half, you're going to say you're lucky to be down 6. You're lucky that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And that's true. I mean, the Grizzlies.
I think I texted you that.
Yeah, the Grizzlies sort of sleptwalked through the first half.
After a good first quarter started.
The bench came in and you got nothing from your bench, unfortunately. It's just the truth.
That was nasty.
But it was that third quarter. It was that third quarter where Steph damn near outscores the entire Grizzlies team in the third quarter, where he just goes off and sort of look, because the deal was Dylan was doing as good a job as you can do on Steph. There's not really an effective way to guard him. He was denying him early in the game as best he could, but look, there are 48 minutes in an NBA basketball game, and you're not going to deny Steph for all 48 of those. At some point, you have to close your eyes and pray to God he's going to miss. That's how you defend Steph Curry. But Dylan did as admirable a job as you could do.
The denial was outstanding.
Yes.
Like, the job he was doing on him. Steph was 4 of 14 when Dylan was on him, you know, head up. And the job he was doing denying Steph the ball, and frankly, you know, denying him three, Steph instead goes to the I'll dribble by you and go for these layups where some of them he's missing. John, some of them he's turning the ball over, did have 7 turnovers. Dylan Brooks was fantastic in terms of what he was able to do for you. Having a plan and trying to execute it. Well, the plan was clearly to try to deny Steph as much as you can. You know you can't do that for a full 48 minutes. But for the time he was out there, John, and my gosh, did it go, you know, when you watch him foul out with 6 minutes left, the whole thing came unraveled.
Yes.
Dylan Brooks was fantastic.
There's
no two ways around it.
About the only guy on the Grizzlies roster that brought it for the entire time that he was in the game yesterday. But Steph did what the great ones do. And there's not a long list of guys who can do what Steph did, the way he took over that game yesterday. I mean, I think in terms of active players, I think it's two. I think it's Steph and LeBron. I mean, if you want to say KD, perhaps.
LeBron's going to do it to you a different way. He's going to do it like that.
But Steph just, I mean, it's a barrage, man. It's a barrage. I mean, in every single way, like, especially there in that fourth quarter, he was disrespectful. I mean, the way that he, you know, he got open, left Jaren on that gamble, made that one, and
that
then
was a defensive breakdown
on the
young team, Jaren,
on the right wing. I can't remember who. Oh, it was on Melton, on the right wing. Melton's just all up in him, and he just drops off.
That was actually
off
pretty Melton. Good defense.
Yeah, I mean, you can't guard him any better.
You were in his face at least on that one.
But that is why he's the greatest of all time. You know, because he doesn't need any space at all. He doesn't need any. You know, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Steph Curry has an all time game. I thought I saw yesterday that's the most threes he's ever taken.
It was.
In his career. Which
shot
is
attempts, period.
Amazing.
Like ended up 36, I think, for shot attempts it was. That's a career high, too. 4-14, we set it against Dylan Brooks for just 11 points. Against the rest of everybody else for the Grizzlies, 12 of 22 for 35 points. So when he didn't see Dylan Brooks, he was absolutely going berserk on you.
Yep.
And some of it is you're losing to one of the all-time greats, and he all-time graded you. Like you know, it's almost like watching John Tom Brady in the pocket, right, where he can take one step, but it means a lot more than that, right, because it's that shoulder shake or whatever
it is, you just know
and guys
happening.
Miss.
You know it's coming.
Steph can almost do that like in a circle with a couple dribbles, or it's running around, coming right back to the three-point shot after the quick screen, and he's right back there. Like, he takes such advantage of space, right, in tight space, and finds a way to get
no doubt.
That sort of what
he's
we're
the
watching.
Best ever at.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
it felt like,
ever.
You know, and I kept going back to an old Fizdale saying, it felt like they rooked us in many ways, that what Steph was doing, particularly when Dylan Brooks was not on him, was rooking you in many ways. You just fell for it. Like Jaren going out to half court, trying to guard him, thinking he's got some help there, didn't. I think it was Melton or whatever else that rotated over.
Yep.
And you end up giving up a wide open shot because, of course, he's going to dribble by Jaren. So some of it was inevitable, and some of it because you're losing to an all-time great.
So I think,
an all-time great on fire.
I think that is – I think
like he took a lot of shots.
Oh, he did. But 46, 9, and 7, all-time great performance. And sometimes that's the way it goes in the National Basketball Association. You were an underdog for a reason. I felt about the Warriors the way I did for a reason, and Steph is exactly the reason why. That's, I think, the most important part of yesterday. But I also thought – and again, it changed a little bit. The Grizzlies did make a run in the fourth quarter thanks to Dylan Brooks before he went out. And Dylan deserves a ton of credit for the way
he
brought
it. Fourth by himself.
Yes, I mean, he did. He brought him back single-handedly. But I thought for the first three quarters of that game yesterday, it just didn't feel like a big game to me. Like, that was a big game. That was a decisive game.
Essentially a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. And maybe, you know, to the point that Harrington made, maybe if it was a regular season and this was really decided, you know, if the Grizzlies lose that game, they are out. They don't get to, you know, host a game. They don't get to get another chance to make the playoffs. If it was a regular season like that, maybe it would be different. But although I went into this feeling like, hey, this is a big game, I didn't really feel like the Grizzlies' energy reciprocated that for the first three quarters
of
that game. It just didn't feel like,
intensity? You were texting me that throughout the game, and you're right, that changed in the fourth, at least. Dylan Brooks was the guy that scored eight straight to get you back in the game. I think it was 17 at that point that you were trailing, 16, 17 points you go into the fourth quarter. I wonder how much of that, clearly some of it, John, is young team, right? Even if it loses, it's still got some basketball ahead of it.
Yeah, big moment.
Right. And we'd like to think, right, that progression, you know, the steps are all the same. That last year you're in a situation with Portland where you win, right, it's big stakes in the sense that you're into the playoffs, you're playing situation there. You didn't bring it in the first half.
Right. So
brought it in the second. Right, that you learn from that.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you're ready to turn up the urgency knob in this game.
Yep.
At final regular season game of the year that – you know, it's so big because it's essentially double elimination that you're earning if you win, right? You're getting that 8 seed. So you'd like to think they learned from last year. Now you're going to take the next step up,
yep.
and they'll realize it. But, again, young team going against a Steph Curry who's been at home for the last 6 games of regular season, getting out of his own bed, super comfortable. Here's the other thing.
He's a champ.
Went 1 of 11 from 3 in his last time out. Okay, so yep. you were bound to get some of this.
Yep.
So part of it's that, John, just not knowing, you know, the level they're about to turn up to.
Absolutely.
You know, what Steph's going to go to, all right? I got to say this, though, because it's been on my heart. Some of this, too, young coach feels like. Because, John, when you got a young team that maybe doesn't sense, okay, we got to turn it up here.
Right.
You know, we know what Steph's going to do. We got to turn it up. Well, who do you look to in those situations? We can say the young stars. I mean, and that's who it's supposed to come. Eventually, it's going to have to come from Ja Morant.
Yep.
Got Jaren Jackson, right? It came from Dylan Brooks a little late in the game.
Yep.
But you usually get some of that from your coach, too. Your veteran coach, in some instances, he's been through the wars, right? It's going to tell your guys beforehand, look, guys, we can get off to a great start. Hell, they'll still come back. We got to keep that intensity through the second quarter, everything else. I just wonder, and again, he's learning, too, just like these players are.
Yep.
Remember at the end of the season, it's driving me crazy that it was, we've got a lot of basketball left to be played.
Right.
I mean, that literally was, and we're going crazy because it's like, no, and you got to get this Jaren thing figured out. And you just got him back in the starting lineup, and there's really there's a finite amount of basketball left to be played, quite frankly. Now, you can extend it, but you're coming down to the wire. And so, look, we're not in that locker room beforehand. We don't know.
It could be two different versions of Taylor Jenkins.
It could be two different versions completely, but you feed off of some of that because, look, you feed off your coach all the time in the NBA. And I can hear some now, well, they're pros. They're supposed to get – well, it's a young team that's looking for any direction it can get and doesn't know, quite frankly, where the fire is going to come from other than Dylan Brooks. That's the one thing about Dylan. It's been consistent all year long. If you've learned anything about this team, my gosh, that dude is going to bring in the big moments. But that's the point. When you're young like that,
yep.
you don't necessarily know where it's going to come from. It's not going to be consistent, and you need your head coach in those points. So I just wonder how much of it, you know, for a young team, it'd be nice if your head coach setting that tone too, you know what I mean, and not so much we've got a ton of basketball left to be played. That said, though, John, we say all that. Dude, they took the lead in the fourth quarter, okay? Like, they came back, and it's funny because in between the third and the fourth, I texted you and said, I don't want Steph to hit any more threes. A crazy deal where there's a DK out there.
A sucker bet.
It was a sucker bet out there.
Oh, yeah.
Sucker bet out there of Steph Curry, Ja Morant having more assists than Steph had threes. Mm-hmm. So I'm texting John. I'm texting John. No way. That's no more threes from Curry. And John's point was, Steph may not be back in. You're probably good. Well, the reason he had to come back in, a lot of it was Dylan Brooks 8-0. You made that a game again in the fourth. For whatever reason, we talk about the intensity not being there in the first three quarters, two quarters, whatever you want to say it was. It was there in the fourth, and it came from Dylan Brooks scoring 8 straight. If I'm not mistaken, he had 13 total in there. And, John, when Dylan Brooks got that three-point play to tie up the game, brother, I was up doing the flex in front of I was all the way in and invested. It felt playoff. It felt urgent. And all of a sudden, this young team is right there with a chance to take the lead, and they did. But, again, down the stretch, what happened? You got vetted. Yeah, a veteran move by Draymond to get the 6th foul on Dylan. Young team, there's your fire right there. It's out of the game. You come unraveled. And Steph Curry ends up hitting, a couple of more threes, gets up to 9, and the game's over all of a sudden. But give the Grizzlies credit in this sense, John. Go back to circle back. It looked like it was over between the third and the fourth. The game looked like it was absolutely over. The guy that refused to let Dylan Brooks made it a game with 8 straight to start the quarter, got you right back in it. And all of a sudden, you know, you were right there with the chance to take it. As many mistakes as there were, as many characteristics of your young team, right, that doesn't get it quite yet against a veteran team. You were right there, BC. You were right there. It was for the taking.
Yep.
But, again, you come up short because of a couple of veteran plays by veteran guys, you know, the way Steph handled you like a Tom Brady would and the way Draymond was able to see that Dylan Brooks is – they're feeding off of him right now. Let me go ahead and get this 6 with a little veteran flop here that I'm going to get. And let's see if they come unraveled. And I'll be darned, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and look.
But give them credit for getting back in that game in the fourth and having a chance to win, frankly.
There have not been a lot of moments like this for
without
him.
Without Ja playing well. That's the other part
about
it.
That's where I was going. Like, that was a humbling day. That was a humbling day for Ja Morant yesterday.
Well, it felt like Tony Allen when they backed off him.
Yes, it did.
Yep.
Because, I mean, they had Looney on him. They were guarding with Looney out there.
Your boy Bobby Marks even said it was dead. They were disrespecting
they really
him,
were.
Basically, on Twitter. And they were, by the way.
They were saying, yeah, if you're going to beat us,
it's,
you know,
it was smart,
out here.
It was smart coaching and a smart game.
It's always against the damn Warriors. It's always the Warriors that expose, you know, whatever the biggest glaring weakness is. That's what they do.
It's part of coaching game plans.
And not that this is some top secret classified piece of information here. We know that that's the next developmental step where John Morant is improving his outside game. But, you know, there was a moment there where – I guess there was a timeout after Steph hit another three where the Grizzlies are walking off the court and you could just see it on Josh's face. Like, this is one of the most fiery guys throughout the course of the regular season. And he's kind of got this blank expression on his face. Like, damn, you know, there is a gap. There is a gap. And again, like, even last year, it was the bubble. You know, it was not like yesterday. Right, I mean, there were actual fans there. It wasn't a premier environment, but it was different than the bubble because it was just you and the other team. Right, mm-hmm. They have never been in a moment like yesterday. They just haven't. Not this
right.
iteration
it
of this
different.
Team. You know,
and
so
that will eventually, hopefully, be a good thing.
Exactly.
You said that going in.
It was a road game against one of the greatest players to ever play the game, the best shooter to ever play the game, with fans. That's a notoriously very difficult place to play, and you're on the West Coast. It's going to happen. You're going to have days where you're humbled, and the key is making sure that you learn from it, making sure that you build from it. That doesn't mean that they're going to win again. Let's just assume they win on Wednesday. That doesn't mean you are going to win next week against the Warriors again. In fact, you're going to be underdogs, and what's going to change between now and
you
then?
Know, you know, the funny part is that as good as Steph was, and we both agree he's right there, you can't talk about this game without talking about him first, is that it wasn't a Steph 3, and he hit 9 of them, that felt like it was the turning point. Because so after Dillon ties it, mm-hmm. your entire team's back in the game. Ja even hits a floater to put you up 2. Draymond answers, ties it up. Jonas gets the tip. You're back up 2. And this, to me, was the turning point. Jordan Poole makes a 3-pointer to put him up 1. Okay, Steph comes down, misses a 3, a 29-footer. He had missed a couple to that point in a row. You know what it was? It was on that non-box out. It was where Jaren Jackson didn't get a box out on Andrew Wiggins, who comes in, and I think he had 10, 11 rebounds. Andrew Wiggins, who, look, has had a good season, but has got no business getting in double-digit rebounds against you, okay, when you got 2 7-footers out there, okay? That's But Jaren, I remember it because he puts his hands on his head almost to, like, what you do when somebody else didn't do it, but it was completely on him. And that play, John, put them back up 3,
yep.
Okay? Then you allow Steph with 3:17 to hit the 3 to make it a 6-point game. But, John, if you get the regular box out there, you got a chance to go back out. And it just didn't happen. And here's the deal. This is why I bring it up, because it's ironic that was actually the turning point. That's actually where they grabbed it. But your 2 stars, okay, let's be real, guys. In many ways, they got exposed. Right, they're young players that aren't finished products, but their weaknesses, their flaws, got exposed. Ja from in terms of the 3-point shooting, and then Jaren Jackson. You know, he finishes with 7 rebounds, but let's be real, guys. He was almost playing more like a guard yesterday in terms of the way he was floating outside, shot more 3s than he did 2s. But to that point, what we've been on about, Jaren Jackson's got to be a better rebounder, a more natural rebounder, especially guys if you're gonna play him at the 5.
Yep.
Right, second unit or eventually first unit or whatever it's going to be, this has got to be a part of it.
Yep.
And he did not get that body on Andrew Wiggins, and you get that putback dunk. The place goes crazy. It's 3 right there, and then all of a sudden all it takes is a Steph 3 to unlock it, make it a 6-point game again. But back to it. You know, Jaren floating outside. Guys, he's 7 foot.
Yep.
Like, there was an opportunity. We saw it the way Jonas was killing early on to dominate that team inside. And listen, Jaren isn't naturally built for that. He operates more outside in as opposed to inside out as a 7-footer. But guys, you saw it with Draymond knowing the foul situation. You saw it, as John said, with Kerr realizing, well, let's give those shots to Ja Morant. You got to make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of the other team's weaknesses. And I just thought in a situation against one of the league's worst rebounding teams, you got 2 7-footers out there. There was just too much of
well said.
Putting that on Jonas Valanciunas to be the guy to get the rebound.
Yep.
Jaren had 7 rebounds. Hell, Johnny should have had 12 to 14 rebounds.
Absolutely.
And not just because, oh, all of a sudden you're some brute rebounder, but because game plan would have allowed you to do that. The problem is you're playing him set aside when he's with the starters. You got him playing with the five at the second unit, and he's playing outside.
Yeah.
He's doing his natural drifting. And so from that standpoint, I didn't think they did themselves any favors. And going back to the point, your young stars, you know, the two, you know, the future, you know, the faces of this franchise, put it that way, those flaws, veteran team, they exposed them.
Yep.
And it absolutely hurt you. You get that rebound there, you're down one with a chance to go back up, and it's still a game. But unfortunately, it comes unraveled from that point.
Andrew
that was
Wiggins,
even with Dylan out.
To that point, Andrew Wiggins, his 10 rebounds was only the third time this season. It's a season high. It's tied for season high. And he's only done it two times other than yesterday.
I bet I can hear him now. They got one guy that's going to rebound, guys. They got one.
It's true.
And Jaren, again, seven. You get seven because it's Golden State.
Right.
It should have been a lot more, quite frankly, if you'd played it right. In terms of – I'm not telling you Taylor ain't the right guy for the job. But to me, a veteran coach is like on top of that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like there's only so many ways we're going to win this game, guys.
Yep.
One of them I was telling you Friday, Jonas can eat if you keep feeding him.
Yep.
Right? He can dominate this team. There was no reason for Jaren Jackson at 6'11", 7 foot, however tall y'all want to make him, to be outside almost all game long, right, taking more threes than he is to.
Well, the question
to
me is,
go in and take advantage of the advantage that you do have and try to win the game that way.
The question to me is,
you got to go out playing
that
way.
Can Jonas and I mean, we're plotting this thing, you know, three. Can Jonas and Jaren coexist?
Well, it's what everybody has said is that eventually you won't have Jonas next to him, right? You're going to put Jaren at the five.
Right, well, that's kind of scary.
Can you see that?
That's
because
scary.
Because we see it with the second. Guys, we see it with the second unit.
Who's the four?
It doesn't work.
I hope the four is Karl Malone.
He's played always with sort of that guy beside him, Xavier Tillman in college, right, that helps him out, right? In many of the ways that Mark Gasol, who was, let's be real, fantastic rebounder when he won, but could just box out and let Z-Bo get the rebounds. Right, it feels like Jaren, right, as long as that, and he didn't get the box on Wiggins, but it's like, okay, Jonas is a guy. You got to want that too. And unfortunately, when you're 7 feet, it just feels like I'm going to be more Durant, more 7 foot Steph Curry,
yep,
than I'm going to go down here and use my actual. And listen, naturally, it's not the thing for him, right? That's part of his game that's got to develop, that inside game. But guys, yesterday should have been the time when you were employing it and trying to do it and pounding it inside, whether it was to him or Jonas, taking advantage of your length and your, you know, your ability to out rebound this team if you go hard at them. They didn't do that yesterday.
I thought yesterday was a young coach. It was a reminder. It was a reminder of just how far this Grizzlies team has to go. As much as they overachieved this year and they got great contributions from these sort of bit players like your Kyle Andersons and your DeAnthony Meltons and your Grayson Allens, right?
That burned out yesterday, though.
Yeah, once that pixie dust runs out, you know, it comes down to Ja and Jaren. And I don't think we should be making any assumptions yet about how great they. I mean, we still have a lot that we have to see. So I thought yesterday was just a humbling day. I mean, there have been a couple of these this season, and there are going to be more, right? There are going to be more along the way. But look, at the end of the day, it was an all-time great doing what all-time greats do, and that's meeting these moments. I don't think the Grizzlies met the moment yesterday, and that's okay. It's not the end of the world. They're going to have plenty more opportunities over the course of the next decade to do that. But they certainly did not do it yesterday, and that's why they are hosting the San Antonio Spurs on Wednesday inside FedEx Forum as the 9 seed. All right, we will come back. We're going to take your calls. How are you feeling about the Memphis Grizzlies? How are you feeling about the day yesterday? What do you want to get off your chest about the Memphis Grizzlies now that the regular season is officially in the books? 535-3776, 535-ESPN. Jason's going to take your calls when we come back. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
The NBA play-in tournament gives some teams one last shot to make the playoffs, but everyone can bet this round risk-free, guys. Listen up on FanDuel Sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or you already have an account. FanDuel's teamed up with Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith. You know those names. To make sure you'll get your money back if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game. So whether it's Lakers Golden State, like we talked about, Grizz San Antonio coming up on Wednesday, or some other matchup, you can bet this round risk-free. Yes, the NBA play-in tournament is going down Tuesday through Friday, and FanDuel just made it even more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's play-in palooza. You get it? So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app and opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, new users, sign up with the promo code JSmith to get your first bet risk-free. That's up to $1,000 exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's the official partner of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New user risk-free bet for first real money wager only. And refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Switching your car insurance to GEICO is both easy and could save you hundreds. It's the best of both worlds. Like a butcher with a sense of humor. A co-meat-ian.
Well, I'd tell you a joke, but I'd probably butcher it. The stakes are too high.
GEICO. Easy and savings. The best of both worlds.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We are hiring. We need plumbers, HVAC service technicians, and installers. Make up to $55 an hour with full health benefits, paid time off, 401k, and don't forget to ask about our sign-on bonus. Surround yourself with good people, and good things will happen. Come join our team. Apply online at bestcarehomeservices.com. That's bestcarehomeservices.com.
Are you ready to get Twisted? Try the new Twisted Texan Cheeseburger and Footlong Coney. The chili, hearty. The cheese, melty. The fried onion rings, crispy and crunchy. And we're putting it all on top of a beef patty or Footlong Coney. It's Twisted, y'all. For a limited time, only at Sonic.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, it's Jason Smith, and starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Introducing the Lowe's List. While there's innovation in every aisle, these are some of our experts' top picks for 2021. Customize any load with the Whirlpool 2-in-1 washer. Control your home with a touch, thanks to Samsung Connected Appliances. Repel the rain with HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Everlast. And keep the job going longer with the exclusive new line of Flex Power Tools, made for pros. To see who made the full Lowe's List, visit Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios. Online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports. On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If the Grizzlies were a roof, they'd have a missing shingle right about now. And I would know just who to call. They're not a roof. So that's about where the analogy ends. But if you notice a missing shingle on your roof or any other kind of storm damage, we got the man for the job. His name is Chris McCulley. He's going to come out. He's going to assess the damage to your roof. And then, don't worry, he's going to start dealing with your insurance company. Chances are he's going to get that thing covered with no out-of-pocket cost to you. There is nothing better. I know because I went through this experience about a year ago. So easy, so stress-free. Let him do the same for you. When he comes out, let him know you heard about him on the Jason and John Show. He's going to hook you up with a free roofing upgrade.
Important here, 487-7096. It's about to rain. So again, you don't want to get rained on. You got roofing issues, call them up. They'll get on it immediately. That's the best part. Their team's big enough to get out to you. Problem small or big. Listen, if you just need a couple shingles replaced, they're going to charge you like you only need a couple shingles replaced. Not going to try to replace your roof. Got all these roofers out here just trying to make a buck. Chris McCulley's not doing that. He's doing it with good business. That's why he's voted most popular roofing company by Memphis Most. That's why they've got all those five-star reviews on Facebook. Go read them for yourself. McCulley Roofing and Renovations. They're at 487 7096.
All right, 535-3776-535-ESPN. The Grizzlies' regular season is over. Unfortunately, ends on a sour note with the loss on the road to the Golden State Warriors. They will host San Antonio Spurs here in Memphis on Wednesday as part of the play-in tournament. How are you feeling about your Grizzlies? 535-ESPN, 535-3776. We go to Barry. Barry, you're on. Barry.
Barry, we got you.
Yeah,
you're on. You're on the air.
Yeah, you guys are exactly right about how Jared is playing, man. But I think it's all about coaching. It's all about coach. You got to teach a big man how to play like a big man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just saying it's not Jared's fault. It's a coach's fault. You got to teach him how to play like a big man. He's not playing like a big 6'11 guy. He's playing like a guard. But it also, when you're in a close game, man, you when you shoot a three-pointer, you helping them to win the game. You should tell your team to attack the basket, and get old style 3 points. It's all about coaching, man, with the Grizzlies.
Hey Barry, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. 535-3776.
Young team, young coach.
535-ESPN. How you feeling about the Memphis Grizzlies? Yep. And these were the concerns. I mean, these were the concerns that we've been talking about all year long with Jaren Jackson Jr.
Right. The young coach is developing.
But
too.
It is on the coach ultimately to unlock, you know, what a player can be. Jay, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, brother?
I tend to disagree with the last caller on Jaren. I think he's similar to Marc Gasol in the sense that he's a big that doesn't really play big, and I don't know that you could teach rebounding. A lot of people just thought, like, with his defensive lapses and stuff, with him coming back from injury, that it was just him getting back in the flow and getting back in shape. Jaren has never been the best on the ball defender. I would never consider him a rim protector. He gets blocks when he's the off defender, like when he comes and helps. But just being the primary defender, he's always been one that gets a lot of foul calls. And he's never looked like the most fluid defender. But, I mean, I guess that's a conversation to have down the road. He's still super young, but I don't know that he'll ever be a good defender or even an all-star caliber player. Like I said, he's really young, and it's too soon to start, you know, talking about doing something major as far as moving him. But, I mean, that's just my take on it.
Hey, Jay, appreciate the call, man. And I will say on that point, Bill Simmons from The Ringer had a podcast. I don't know if it was – I think it was recorded yesterday and released today, where he talked about he would move Jaren Jackson Jr. To Golden State for James Wiseman.
Oh, man. Whoa.
What do you guys think?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now we're moving guys.
Traditional big man.
Are y'all ready to ship Jaren out after 10 games this year?
We haven't seen nearly enough from James for it to be a straight-up trade. I mean, there would have to be more in that for me. They have to throw in some picks and things like that. But I'll listen. I swear I'll listen. Yeah. I'm not above listening. I won't listen to anything for John Morant. I'll listen for Jaren.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll listen with a close ear.
Oh, you'd be fooling. I'll take the phone call.
Tony, you're downtown. What's going on?
Man, like I seen my man over there little messages in it all the time. Jaren Jackson is Rudy Gay 2.0.
He sends me this every day in my DMs. Yes.
If you can trade him for anything, I'll trade him on the next page smoke. He ain't it what everybody made. He messed up the chemistry of this team. I disagree with the first caller because it's ironic that this coach has developed a lot of the talent that's on it. You got one of the deepest benches in the NBA. And the money you want to give to Jaren, you better give it to Dylan because Dylan is a dog. And you can't teach dog. When you got a dog on that team, he'll bite through whatever. That man bought that team back. That man, when he scored with 20 points, you look at the record of this team when that man scored with 20 points. So you, when people will talk about the third piece, you got the third, and you got the fourth piece, which is Jones. But that other piece, you need to put him on the next thing, smoking, and get him out here. Like I said, if you can get Michael Porter Jr. phone, man,
oh,
you
ain't getting
you,
that.
You better get him. If you get him.
That ain't happening. But Tony, we appreciate the sentiment
and your persistence.
Yes,
he does. He DMs every day.
Now we can't keep paying Dylan. We just paid Dylan.
We can't
Dylan on great contract.
Money.
That's a great job by the front office.
The
what they
Gay
got him
thing.
On.
Yeah, the Rudy Gay thing is interesting to hear that comparison.
Well, he'll never average more points than Rudy Gay did. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, he just won't. I mean, Jaren is not going to be a 25 a night scorer. I'm sorry. There are some people out here who believe he's going to be. He's not. He's not efficient enough. He doesn't shoot the ball well enough. It ain't happening. Now, I know people like to see the big man shoot the three, right? They love it. It's fun. But it needs to go in. He airballed yesterday. I'm like, what are we talking about?
And it looks bad, too, on top of it.
Right. Like, every time Steph shoots, I'm like,
that is
going
in. Everyone. It's like
every
a dart.
Every time Jaren shoots, I'm like, that's a turnover.
Well, and there were memes about it, too, because visually, I know you can't judge a shot on visually. Sometimes you can.
Well, you shoot damn near 40% last year.
That was last year.
I saw it. I saw it, too.
He's 2 of 7 from three yesterday. And
I get that.
I mean, look, you probably can't take anything away from this season for Jaren. But I certainly am not going into year 4 with him feeling like, oh man, it's really trending in the right direction. I'm not there. Tato, you're on.
Hey, what's up, my man? First time caller, man.
Well, thank you. What's
Appreciate
up, brother?
You calling in, brother.
Man, yeah, I was just saying, I was proud of the Grizzlies. I thought they came out really, really strong. Of course, we went through a stretch right there in the second quarter where we didn't get anything from the bench.
Right.
The thing that I was kind of disappointed in was how we came out in the third quarter. I thought we should have been more prepared for the flurry that we knew was coming. We knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all together, you know, they fought back. That same look, John, you mentioned that look on John's face. I noticed that during that third quarter exactly yesterday. But I thought he recovered pretty well from that. He fed JB a couple times down low. You know, we withstood the run. And, you know, Dylan Brooks got hot in the fourth quarter. We made a game out of it. You know, missed the box out at the end. Of course, you know, that's a championship team, you know, with championship DNA. So, you know, all together, I think the future's still bright. Ja Morant is going to be okay. Their shot will come. And, you know, I'm not going to pile on Ja today, man. Like, I think he did a really good job of you know, just showing a little maturity, because I think it would have been easy to be overwhelmed and, you know, during that flurry. But I think he did a good job of bouncing back. The shot will come, and, you know, I'm still optimistic for the future for the guys.
Dig so, that, Tato.
Appreciate you calling, brother.
Yeah, you notice we have not spent any time today having any kind of referendum-type conversation on Ja Morant, because this dude carried this team for 72 freaking games without Jaren Jackson Jr. Today is not the day.
Thank you for saying that. See, like some folks forget.
I mean, there's
like
never...
If you just got Kyle and Dylan,
come on, man.
This team ain't in that spot yesterday,
bro. We're picking first.
Like, and I love Jonas and Kyle and Dylan and what they've done but give me a break. Like, you're here because of Ja Morant and sort of his ability to lift guys up. And he's gonna have these types of games.
Yes.
Like that's gonna. I did think yesterday was a moment where it. Even if you're off, you have to bring it every quarter.
Very true.
Right?
Very true.
And you had the extra day of rest, John, so there is no laying back.
Yep.
Right? You and that's something that he's going to have to learn going forward. But my guess is Ja does learn from these.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Ja because he brings it, man. Right. Like he is a stud. The production has already been there. We've already seen it, and it's only going to get better. Mm. You know, I think the questions are, where does Jaren go from here? I think those are the fair. And honestly, everything else around, right, Ja and Jaren. What's the immediate future of that?
And I learned a lot about Dylan Brooks this season.
Amen. Very true. Ryan, you're on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I sort of had two takeaways. It's kind of funny hearing all the the reactions. Maybe it's not so happy a Monday for a lot of folks. But sort of two takeaways I had was, number one, sort of a long-term perspective, that was kind of what we expected to happen.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes.
The young team, Steph Curry's really good. He shot 36 shots, which is just unheard of. He's their only offense, and we knew that was going to happen. But I had this reminder. I know you guys probably remember 2012 when the OKC Thunder went to the finals with the Heat. That was when Durant, Westbrook, Harden, they were all babies.
Yep.
I know it's not the exact same scenario, obviously, in the same circumstances, because that was the finals. But I sort of had that sort of same feeling, like, man, they're babies out there.
Yep.
They are.
I mean, Ja and Jaren are 21 years old. Jaren, because he's been hurt, has had the same amount of games pretty much as Ja in his career. So they got a long way to go. And that's the first time you guys hit the nail on the head in the segment. Like, that's the first time they've been in that scenario with the eyes of the NBA world watching. So that was sort of my long-term view is like, man, they're going to be okay. They're babies. They'll learn from that stuff. And then the second takeaway I had more for short-term is, I mean, literally what we expected to happen happened. And now we're going to have, if everything goes according to plan and we beat the Spurs on Wednesday, we'll have the exact same scenario Friday.
Yep.
And you get to make adjustments, and maybe you catch Steph Curry on an off night where he's not hitting 9 threes. So, I mean, we'll have the exact same scenario yesterday as we will on Friday. So those are my sort of long-term and short-term takeaways. But hey, thanks for the call.
Ryan, good thoughts, man. Appreciate that.
I like
that.
The call.
Yeah, and I do think it is true. Like, there are two schools, right? There's the now, and then there's the future.
Right. Again, we're not making. You cannot make an assumption that it's time to trade Jaren based off 9-10 games,
right,
and the fact that he didn't have a good one yesterday. You cannot do that.
Right.
And ultimately, he's right. It's what we thought would happen. That ultimately, a rookie team in this situation. That part is true, and it's good perspective. Because, listen, you do finish four games over 500, almost played the entire season without Jaren Jackson, and we said going in, no matter what happens, this will be good for this young team.
Yeah.
That can still be true. That said, I got more questions on Jaren than I did going into this game. And I think that's fair.
Jaren, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Jaren?
What's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing? Jason, I sent you a text earlier today. I don't know if your number is still the same. We met a couple of years ago at the Grizzly Watch Party. I'm a former U of M football player.
We
discussed some stuff then. And team-wise, I think we are okay. I think we're moving in the right direction. But I've had this feeling for a while, but I kind of held off on it until Jaren came back. I think it's time for us to maybe consider trading him. Okay, I think we can get a lot in return for him at this point. Let's not wait, and then he has another injury where he's sitting out a month or two. I think we can get a lot for him now. We proved that we can be successful without him. So if we move him, maybe we can get another all-star caliber player, maybe a veteran guy. Someone who comes off the bench, a Tony Allen-like guy who may take us even farther in the next direction like Phoenix did when they brought in Chris Paul. So I just feel that, and I like Jaren as a person, a great character guy, but basketball, business-wise, I think we need to consider that before he has another major injury, and we stuck with him. I think we can get a lot for him if we consider moving him now.
Hey, Jaren, thanks for the call, man.
Interesting question.
Appreciate it. I mean,
what you're just going to get more of and is going to be asked more of based on what we saw this year.
I think, yeah. I think.
I don't know if it's necessarily fair at this point.
Well, he's coming off an injury, right? So that's kind of the part of this.
Played 11 games this year.
That's kind of what's protecting him at this moment, right, from the production that he's putting out. I mean, it's the fact that he's coming back from an injury.
We were feeling real good about him all the way up until he got hurt in the bubble, right?
Yes. I think we were feeling.
Even with the rebounding issues about how he was coming along.
The degrees of how good we felt about him varied.
I mean, he was shooting 40% from three last
year.
But
I think overall, yes, people felt good.
Averaging 17 and
but I think people are also, I think the immediacy, right, people are turned off by the fact that the team does not look to gel well since his return, and he's not playing well.
Front office didn't help with that.
Yeah.
Not putting
him
back in the starting lineup sooner.
We go to Blake in Midtown. Blake, you're on.
What's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
So the big three to me this year has been Ja, Dylan, and Jonas. And I don't know why they ran Jaren up the first team as soon as he got healthy. I mean, I get it. You want to see him out there with the guys, but you didn't want to mess up the flow we had. I'm not saying we should move on from him, but if we can get Bill to Bill, I'm ready for that. Let's do that.
You're not going to get that, though. I mean, that's the problem. Trust me, we'd have been done that. We did that back in December on this show. You know, they're not going to get you. They're not going to give you Bradley Beal. He's 27 years old. He's, you know, basically, he's not the scoring champ this year.
I thought you were just saying player for player, which ain't going to work anyway because of the. I thought he was saying try to trade Jaren for Beal. Like, that's
well,
not
yeah,
happening.
I mean, but even a package ain't
they
work.
Might eventually take something for him, a major package.
I mean, they made the playoffs. They're feeling good. Norvell, you're on.
This team is fine. The problem is the NBA keeps showing us if you don't have a superstar come playoff time, not an all-star, not a great player, but a superstar, you're going to have a problem. Is Ja going to be good enough to be Allen Iverson, take a – average team to the championship? Will he be good enough to be the one way before LeBron show up? Because if you don't have that transcendent player, you're going to have a problem.
Norvell, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it. 535-3776-535-ESPN. How are you feeling about the Memphis Grizzlies? They host, of course, a play-in game on Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs. We go to Jay in South Haven. Jay, you're on.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
I was, I'm just saying, I feel like we're ahead of what we really should be right now. Everybody thinks the Pelicans should be where we're at. And
That's true. We're
ahead of our time right now, and we're doing pretty good. And I'm not really that against how we are right now because we're ahead of our time.
Well, Jay, we appreciate it, man. And that's certainly a fair. That is a fair.
Not to jump to any crazy conclusions based off what we saw and what we sort of expected to happen.
But again,
that's a fair approach.
What is the adage on this show? You're only ahead of schedule until you're not. Yep. And it can happen quickly. Like, you don't even realize it. You don't even, oh, man, what happened? We're supposed to do X, Y, and Z this year. You know, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying to you, to Sean Moore, remember Bubble Jaren Jackson? Dude was he says second coming to KD. I'm not going to go that far. But he looked great.
See, that's the thing is we can't even have a realistic conversation about Jaren.
He looked great. Give him some time. He's only 21. That is a fair point.
The extremes.
I don't think we can jump ship on you. Even though Tony's been hitting me with this and you and yes, y'all got more evidence based on what happened Sunday and what we've seen in this 11-game stretch. I don't think you can jump to any conclusions after basically what we expected to see on Sunday.
I am not dealing Jaren today. I am not, but it is something that I am not diametrically opposed to.
Absolutely. That's why I'm with you on that. Of course you're going to take the call.
Yeah, like they're like, I'm not taking a call on Ja. I know that forever. I'm never taking a call on Ja, but I don't know that I won't take a call on Jaren. You know, and I'm not saying we do this after the season is over, but I'm watching it. I'm sleeping with one eye open when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr. right now. That's just all it is. 535 ESPN.
Oh, he's got to stay healthy too. That's the other part.
Yeah,
we're leaving out. That's like the elephant in the room.
Yes, Ken, you're on.
Hey, Jason and John, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
Jason, man, I love your takes on everything. I like how honest you are. I love how you just break everything down. You can talk to the lawsuits and you can still tell them, man, your son needs to improve. That's why I listen to your show.
You're proud of me, Ken. Thank you. Appreciate you listening, brother. What you got?
Now, I'm with everybody else on Jaren Jackson. Man, he just messed up the flow. The guy's not playing well with him on the floor. He looked lazy. You know, I don't know whether it's the injury or what, but I'm with the other guys. Let's go head on and trade him now before everybody else in the league figure out what we already know, that he really ain't the guy that he thinks he is. I don't know whether there may be some problem with him and Lil Morant, with Ja or whatever it is, but I still don't understand his injury, why he stayed out so long. Now, these guys work real hard as a team before he got there. So it's kind of hard for them, I see, them just welcome him on back and just, okay, let's run everything through you. No, man, they're not going to do that. It just didn't look good to me. That's my take on it. And, Jason, I got one more question for you. I want to throw something out at you.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about this whole different subject. I'm talking about the Tigers trying to find another coach. Now, Penny Hardaway's already the best recruiter ever, right? I know this is a whole different subject.
He's been
the biggest glaring weakness that we have is a big man coach. We got the best big man in the history of Memphis basketball. Keith Lee is here in town.
Yeah, he is.
Jason,
in town. Yes.
What do you think about him? Penny should hire a big man coach. That's the best man we ever had at the big man coach in Memphis. I think we should reach out to him. I want to run it by you, Jason, because I know you'll throw it out there. And once you take hold of it, it may get some roots. So
I don't know if it's going to fly. Like Ken, I appreciate the call, all the kind words. I don't know if it's going to fly even if I say it, John. Bring home Keith Lee.
Well, that's a different
look. I've been hoping for a long time that Keith Lee would be affiliated with that program again in some way, form, or fashion, whether support staff, big man coach, or whatever else. Doesn't feel like Penny Hardaway's looking that direction.
I'm going to get my uncle to call in so we can sort of balance that one out. Tay, you're on.
You hate that, don't you?
Hey, how what it do, guys? How you guys doing?
Yo.
Hey, man, look, this is the problem I'm having right now with the Grizzlies. They look good. They're young. They're babies, like one of the callers says. So would he still have time to grow? But the attitude that I see Jaren have after a mistake is just that gets me, man. Everybody's gonna have mistakes. Everybody's gonna get down, you know, make a blunder play. But for him to kind of throw his hands up and
that's
just
fair.
Feel like that's what I'm kind of worried about right now. But other than that, I think we're ahead of schedule and everything looks good, brother. That's all I have.
Thanks. Hey, Tate, thanks for the call, man.
He does feel like there'd be a little bit more of a maturing through that, and that's always been an issue. Now, a lot of guys going to complain after every call. Hell, the almost it seems like the whole Warriors team does it.
I mean,
Chris Paul
does
it. But you wonder, you get caught up in that, and then you get another frustration foul.
Yep.
Let's be real. Like, it's affected Jaren in that way. He'll get so caught up in it and go commit another one out of frustration.
Yep.
I'm surprised he's not further along with that, even with the small amount he's played this season.
Couple more. We go to Jody. Jody, you're on.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I watched the game yesterday, and, man, Ja Morant got to get a jumper, man. He got to go the same pace Boogie Ellis got to go to get a jumper because it ain't gonna work. And also, Jaren Jackson, a good player. I love to have Jaren Jackson, but we can't pay him $100 million, though. He ain't worth $100 million. Like, as a small market team spending $100 million, not on Jaren. Like, he got a good trail three. That's his shot, the trail three.
Yep.
And he not really a big man when it comes to banging. But he got some handles, though. But, like, as far as $100 million, he ain't worth it.
Yeah. Joey, thanks for the call, man. And then last word on this, we go to Ronnie. Ronnie, you're on.
What's going on, fella?
What's up, brother?
Man, I'm hoping y'all aren't as fickle as we are right now. Like, we looking at one day, these guys haven't played together at all a full season. We don't even know the value of Jaren right now to say what we can get for him. So how can we even say we're going to get Bill for Jaren? If we're looking at what he as a rookie, as when he came in, his value then, that's not the same anymore. So I don't understand what we thinking of what we're going to get for Jaren when other teams know. Pretty sure other teams know we're thinking about trading because they looking at the season. They looking at everything that transpired. They looking at where we are, and they know the fan base here. We microwave. We see what other teams are doing, and we feel like we need to be where they are. But this is not the market for them. Memphis has never been a city where everything has happened within the next year. So I'm trying to understand why we're talking about trading this piece and that piece when we don't even know what these two guys can do on a 2 to 3 year run. Maybe he gets hurt, but that's every player in the NBA. So to assume that we can trade him for Bill or trade him for this, what has he done to say we can even trade him for this or that? So I just feel like the city need to calm down, man. Let these guys grow. Let these guys learn how to be leaders. We saw Dylan Brooks. When was the last time he led before yesterday in a primetime game that was on primetime? Like, we haven't had that before. So that was great that we got this still. Mm-hmm. So let's give these guys an opportunity to show maybe they feed off Dylan. Maybe that's something that they learn how to become. So that's all I'm saying, guys.
Hey, Ryan,
Ronnie, preaching patience. Appreciate the call, bro.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all potential with Jaren. That's what you're selling with him in a potential trade package. I do think it's very interesting that we just opened the phones up about the Grizzlies and just how you feel, and 92% of the phone calls originated around Jaren.
Well, I think there's a frustration there.
Yeah, and
some fair questions, but I'm with the majority of the calls that went big picture that you can't make that decision based on what you saw Sunday and what
right.
you've seen of him in the 10 previous games. Because I tell you this, when he came back, ain't all his issue.
Right.
You know, front office decided they're going to be super patient. We're going to bring him off the bench for, you know, the first 8 games. We can go back and talk about what that might have done, but if it was a fifth. So get all that.
No doubt.
You have to go into next season. Still, I think, John, feeling very optimistic about your two main pieces.
Yeah.
Right? You know a lot more about Dylan Brooks right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
And feeding off him. But I still think you're optimistic about what you saw because the part Deshaun's right on is that in the bubble, right, Jaren was a big part of this team then, right, before he goes down, shooting 40% from three.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't KD, but he was something looked like potentially special for the future. There's still the possibility you got that Jaren, guys. There's still a strong possibility you got that Jaren. But some of these questions about whether he'll be able to be that rebounder or the way the franchise sort of sees him as the future five, and that's why, you know, we're seeing it with the second, you know, that's, I think, fair to question because I don't know that he's ever that, especially with, like we talked about his approach outside in, all that kind of stuff. So I think those things about Jaren and sort of his fit, in the those are fair to question. But, guys, it ain't time to push the trade button today. You know, I hear but I know what the frustration's, you know, based in. You were close yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, ball goes a couple different ways. Dylan Brooks doesn't foul out. You may have won that game.
That's
a good thing.
Yeah.
That you fought back, right? Young team
Absolutely,
had to fight
man.
Back. Dylan Brooks fed off of him. That's still good.
I just say, you know, somebody tried to be funny and talk about Boogie. I mean, Boogie shot 39% from three last season. He's good. He's all right. Jaren's shooting 28. Maybe Jaren's the one that needs to
man, stop.
Go out to SoCal.
Man, stop.
There's a big difference. I wish Jaren was shooting 39%.
I knew as soon as dude said boogie, you was going to go find his stats.
Silliness. Foolishness.
Man, please.
Foolishness. Thanks to all the callers for calling in and chiming in. I thought it was interesting that everybody wanted to talk about Jaren. I didn't know about anything else. But Jaren, it's a very fascinating sort of case study.
Jaren got a lot still to prove.
In Grizzlies fandom. Anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to come. I'm going to tell you about this this very unfortunate story in the NFL. Our young man was hoaxed. For a tryout. How could this possibly happen? He shows up and they say, whoa, what are you doing here? We don't even know who you are. Very sad story. We'll get into that. Potentially, though, with a good ending. Lots more to come in the rundown. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis is home of the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekday mornings from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
Searching for solid information about mortgage options? Search no more. Here to bring you the answers you need is Don Holsinger, Chief Mortgage Officer with Orion Federal Credit Union, with this week's Mortgage Minute.
Let's talk about closing costs. What are they? While buying or refinancing your home, there are costs associated with a transaction. Attorney fees, title insurance, appraisal costs, recording fees, and some lender fees can all be factors. Every lender has fees they charge or have to collect for other parties. You can estimate adding about 3.5% of your loan amount for closing cost. We know this upfront cost could be stressful and may impact your plans. Orion offers mortgage options that may reduce closing costs or even eliminate your out-of-pocket expenses altogether. When you're looking into financing, reach out to Orion for a free consultation. To learn more, visit orionhomeloan.com or give us a call at 1-800-532-9025.
This Mortgage Minute has been provided to you by Orion Federal Credit Union. Terms and conditions apply. Contact Orion for details. Conventional mortgages only. Minimum loan amount $95,000. Available in select states. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Have you ever wondered what's inside your air ducts? Hi, this is